Res Radio 91.3 is KOPA, Paula. It's 12 noon, I'm John, and this is Paula Today for Thursday, July 10th, 2014. The most destructive of the May 14th fires has been determined to have been deliberately set. The San Diego Sheriff's Department says the Cocos Fire, which burned 2,000 acres and destroyed 40 homes on May 14th, was set by an underage arsonist. They say there's no evidence linking that suspect to any of the other dozen fires burning in the county that day. The case has been forwarded to the District Attorney's Office for consideration of possible criminal charges. The unidentified suspect will appear in juvenile court July 30th. State Assemblywoman Melissa Melendez of Lake Elsinore has forwarded a letter to Governor Brown urging him to insist that the Federal Department of Homeland Security cease transferring busloads of undocumented migrants to the Murrieta Border Patrol facility for processing, citing public safety and the preservation of state sovereignty. That request comes following three consecutive public protests in front of the Murrieta facility, which coincided with the bus convoys of detainees from the Rio Grande Valley. But that letter may be unnecessary, at least for now. Murrieta police report that the U.S. Border Patrol informed them yesterday that there are no flights carrying migrants from Texas to San Diego today and none scheduled for the rest of the week. It's been decided that local Border Patrol agents will instead assist with remote processing of the individuals, mostly children, who were supposed to be flown here. About 40,000 undocumented migrants have surrendered at the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas so far this year. Rumors have circulated in Central America that children and young mothers would be granted asylum here, spurring the increased migration. It's possible the change in deportation processing logistics is only temporary. Riverside Sheriff's deputies are looking for a man who robbed a Temecula bank Tuesday afternoon. The bearded man, about 5'9" and weighing 160 pounds, showed a weapon and got away with an undisclosed amount of cash from the First Citizens Bank on Avenida de Misiones. Police are trying to determine if he's the same man who attempted a robbery at the Wells Fargo on Magnolia a few hours earlier Tuesday. San Diego Sheriff's Detective Dan Leibach reports recovering the three American flags stolen from downtown Fallbrook lampposts on July 4th. Leibach saw three teens carrying those flags near Main and Fig at about 2 a.m. the following morning. One of them was wearing one of the flags as a cape. Upon spotting him, the three dropped the flags and ran. They were not apprehended, but the flags were recovered. It wasn't until the Fallbrook VFW reported the theft of those flags to the Fallbrook Bonsall Village News that Leibach realized their source. And there was a 3.2 magnitude earthquake a little before 3 yesterday afternoon just west of Highway 86 near Salton City. No reports of any damage.
This is National Native News. I'm Monica Brain. The National Museum of the American Indian is celebrating its 10th year on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Matt Laszlo reports on recent celebrations.
The National Museum of the American Indian here in Washington was first opened to the public in 2004. Since then, more than 80,000 people from across the country and globe are estimated to have passed through its doors, which is why school children came out to wish it a happy birthday this week.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
museum. In 1980, the Hay Foundation in New York City housed over 800,000 artifacts representing a multitude of Native tribes and communities, which the Smithsonian later acquired and turned part of it into the museum here in D.C. It's the newest addition to the Smithsonian Institution. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
The Interior Department is offering trial advocacy training. People from across the country recently attended a session in New Mexico given by the Office of Justice Services. Tristan Ottone has more.
Simon Tuck is a lawyer with the New Mexico Legal Aid's Native American program. He says while this training is primarily based on Navajo law, he's enjoyed hearing stories from people around Indian country.
I wanted to see what other people were doing in other jurisdictions. And when we have 19 jurisdictions, different sovereigns that we potentially could be working in, and to just have people from all over the country here and to see what they're doing and how is just incredibly useful.
While Tuck works for Legal Aid, he's not a spokesperson. But says one of the biggest issues he runs into is providing criminal defense on New Mexico's 19 pueblos. With many traditional laws not written down, he says it becomes a huge challenge to provide services to clients when there's nothing on the books to study. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
A new movie theater in Bethel, Alaska, lit up its screens last week on Independence Day. It was the grand opening for the Sugavik Cinema, the only theater for hundreds of miles in the vast stretch of the state. KYUK's Charles Enoch was there.
A long line of excited moviegoers are ready for the first big screen viewings in Bethel for over 30 years. Bethel resident Ronald Jennings Jr. says it's a big deal for him.
It's like one of the first movies that I get to watch in a movie theater. Only did it a couple other times, and that was in Juneau, so I'm pretty excited for it being here in Bethel and that they had the courtesy to bring anything like this to a rural area.
The theater is part of the Gibuzvi Complex, a local investment by the Bethel Native Corporation. President and CEO Anna Hoffman opened the theater with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. She presented BNC board members, who use traditional ulloks, to cut the ribbon. After buying their tickets, customers move into one of the two theaters with their snacks. Most adults and couples chose the comedy, 22 Jump Street, but Alexis Kinnegak of Bethel chose the children's adventure.
How to Train a Dragon 2. It was fun and a little bit sad.
Alexis's mom, Yvonne Kinnegak, says she was an employee at the last movie theater in Bethel, the Swanson's Theater, which closed in the early 80s.
It feels really good to be in Bethel and watch a movie. I used to run the movies at the old theater, so it feels really good to have a theater back here, a place to hang out for the kids, and it's just exciting, so I'm very happy.
Surwik is the Yupik translation for movie theater. Surwik Cinema will be open weekdays in the evenings and will begin operations early in the afternoon on weekends. In Bethel, I'm Charles Enoch.
A bipartisan group of U.S. senators have introduced legislation that would provide tax benefits for Native American and Alaska Native adoptive parents. The Tribal Adoption Parity Act would allow Native parents to claim full adoption tax credit when adopting a child through a tribal court. This is National Native News. I'm Monica Brain.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
8 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Paula Today on Res Radio 91.3. All quiet on the highways and freeways locally. In Major League Baseball, the Rockies broke a tie and beat the Padres with 3 runs in the bottom of the eighth. Troy Tulowitzki had home runs for Colorado in the first and the eighth inning, showing why he's in the All-Star game and the National League captain for the Home Run Derby next week. The Angels topped the Blue Jays with a 2-run homer by Albert Pujols, winning it for L.A. 8-7 in Anaheim. Dodgers lost to Detroit 4-1. Angels travel to Arlington for a series with the Rangers beginning today. The Padres and Dodgers open a series against each other tonight in L.A. Jurors in L.A. court yesterday awarded Brian Stowe, the Giants fan who was severely beaten in the parking lot of Dodger Stadium after the 2011 season opener, $18 million in damages. 1/4 of that sum will be the responsibility of the Dodgers organization. The rest of the responsibility split between the two men convicted of the beating. Dodger fans Luis Sanchez and Marvin Norwood pleaded guilty to the attack after preliminary hearings. Former Dodgers owner Frank McCourt, also a defendant in the case, was absolved of any responsibility. Lawyers for Stowe, who suffers brain damage from the beating, were seeking twice that amount awarded just for lifetime care and compensation for lost earnings, and they urged jurors to award double that for pain and suffering. Lawyers for the defense argued that Stowe was partially responsible because he was drunk at the time. Stowe's blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit when he was given medical assistance. The old Monty Python sketch, The Argument Clinic, seems even more quaint to baseball fans this year because there aren't any. Arguments, that is. There's no crying in baseball, and thanks to this year's new video review system, there's no arguing in baseball either. MLB Vice President Joe Torre, who oversees the centrally located video system, had predicted challenges to umpire calls at about once every 6 games. Halfway through the first season with video review, that average is closer to 1 every 4 games. And how are the umpires' calls faring with video review? Well, not bad. The original call is usually being upheld, but it's close. So far this year, 46.5% of calls are being overturned. Of the rest, 24.1% are confirming the umpire's call, and 28.3% are proving inconclusive, so the umpire's call also stands. The biggest change has been the lack of wild, arms-flailing, dirt-kicking, nose-to-nose arguments between managers and umpires. They call the Major League the show, but thanks to video review, there's a little less show for fans to see. If you'd like a good argument, go to a minor league game. They don't have video review. It's better than being hit on the head lessons. In the minors, the Lake Elsinore Storm lost to the Quakes 3-0 yesterday. Storm tried to avoid a sweep in today's game in Rancho Cucamonga. In World Cup soccer semifinals yesterday, Argentina and the Netherlands battled to a scoreless tie, with Argentina moving on to the championship game by virtue of penalty kicks. The semifinal losers, Brazil and the Netherlands, meet Saturday at 1 to determine third place in the tournament. That game will be telecast on ESPN. The championship game is Sunday at 1 between Germany and Argentina. That'll be on ABC. Losses in soccer are not taken lightly, and Tuesday's blowout loss by host country Brazil in the World Cup semifinals is creating shockwaves throughout that country. Brazil's sports minister is calling for an inquiry into the root causes of the disaster, that's his words, that saw Germany score 4 goals in 6 minutes on its way to a 7-1 trouncing of Brazil. An agent for one of the star players went a step further, calling Brazil's coach Luis Felipe Scolari a, quote, old jerk, repulsive, and conceited. Not much room for interpretation there. In business, stocks are down a little, and that's to be expected. Here's the midday update from MarketWatch.com.
Stocks are moving lower. The Dow down 56 points, the NASDAQ down 13, and the S&P down 6, but they are well off their lows of the day. Stocks headed south after a big bank in Portugal said it would delay a debt payment. No matter the headlines, this investor says July just isn't a hot month for stocks.
You look back the last 20 years, and the month of July is actually down more often than not since 1994. Actually, volatility index is up 80% of the time over the last 20 years in the month of July.
J.C. Peretz of Eagle Bay Capital. The faded cupcake fad spelled doom for Crumb's Bake Shop, which has now closed all of its stores. And Carville wants to make sure it doesn't jump on another trend that won't last. The soft serve ice cream chain does not plan to offer frozen yogurt. Carvel's president says he thinks, with so many yogurt places around, we'll see a frozen yogurt bubble, and only the strongest brands will survive. I'm Adrienne Mitchell from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
MarketWatch.com's Larry Kosky gets further into the causes of the July stock slump with his guest, J.C. Peretz of Eagle Bay Capital.
Everybody's talking about either a delayed reaction to the Fed or Portugal, or maybe is it just fear of heights with the market at or near record levels here?
Yeah, sure. I mean, seasonally, it's just not a good time for the market. I mean, you look back the last 20 years, and in fact, the month of July is actually down more often than not since 1994. And actually, volatility index is up 80% of the time over the last 20 years in the month of July. So I don't think this is any surprise at all.
Bumps and volatility notwithstanding, the trend has been higher. Is that trend still in place, do you think? Or do we have to start keeping an eye out for some potholes?
Well, the trend in the S&P 500 is what you're referring to. So, you know, you got to look at other markets. The S&P 500 is a cap-weighted index, and it's really being held up by the large-cap energy names and things of that nature. I think underneath the surface, we've been seeing weakening, not just in financials, but other important leadership sectors like consumer discretionaries are actually the worst sector year-to-date. Industrials are underperforming as well. These are important sectors that have been struggling, and, you know, these have been that rotation into some of the late-cycle sectors like utilities and energy where we've been seeing the strength. This is typical of the end of a bull market. So although the S&P 500 is making new highs, that gets the headline. There's a lot more going on underneath.
So what should investors be doing in here? Is this then not a time to be putting money into this market?
I would absolutely not be putting money to the market. In fact, we came into the week very bearish, not just from a seasonal perspective, but, you know, we have a huge pattern essentially developing over the last 4 years of higher highs and higher lows, but we're reaching the top of that channel. So a pullback here from a pure price perspective is normal. From a seasonality perspective, this is very, very normal. August, in fact, over the last 20 years, on average, is actually down over 1% on average. So I think between now and Labor Day, I think we're going to get higher volatility and lower prices, without a doubt.
So given the lack of really good alternatives, where do you go?
I still like bonds. You know, the trend in bonds has been higher the entire year, everybody and their brother was coming into the year, you know, just assuming that interest rates were going higher. And Larry, you know what happens when you assume. So, you know, from a sentiment perspective, it was a huge extreme. Everyone came in bearish bonds, and we're seeing that unwind and higher highs, higher lows in bonds. And I think that continues, and I think rates continue to get crushed.
J.C. Peretz, founder and president of Eagle Bay Capital. Thanks for coming by.
Licensing sells. And if you're in business and want to sell more of whatever it is you sell, stick a Millennium Falcon on it.
Putting a well-known name on a product can really pay off with big sales. For MarketWatch Newsbreak, I'm Steve Potusk. Movie studios do it, so do many popular actors. Certainly athletes are in the forefront.
Hey, Mike, I got my own shoe.
My own initials on it.
Yeah, well, I have my own shoes with my own name on it.
Product licensing is big business.
Sales total over $250 billion of licensed products worldwide in 2013.
Tony Lasante, the global editorial director at License Global Magazine, he says it's no surprise the top global licensor is Disney.
It's Disney in the traditional sense of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Then it's Marvel, which it acquired a couple years back. Then, of course, they acquired more recently Lucasfilms, which has the Star Wars brand.
Reporting $41 billion on the strength of that portfolio.
I love you.
I know.
With more certainly in the pipeline, with Star Wars Episode 7 expected in late 2015. Retro brands making a comeback. Look for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Popeye the Sailor, Peanuts, Power Rangers, and the more recent SpongeBob. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Plasma TVs are on the way out, and MarketWatch.com's Andrew O'Day says that's too bad in today's take on tech.
It's VHS versus Betamax all over again, and once again, the inferior product wins. As of November this year, LG will be the only company still making plasma TV sets, but it says it will stop soon. Last week, Samsung said it's winding down its plasma production. Panasonic already has stopped making them. So why are they going away? A few reasons. They operate physically a lot hotter and use up more energy than the now dominant LCD sets. They typically have cost about 30% more than LCDs. And from the pure pragmatic corner of the room, plasma sets smaller than 42 inches are completely cost ineffective to make, whereas LCD factories can turn out big TVs and small tablet screens in the same facility. But it's unfortunate that plasma was unable to carve out enough of a target market to survive. You remember all the way back to the dark ages of, say, 2009? You walked into a store and saw plasma and LCD sets together. When it came to the richness of the picture, the brilliance of the colors, the wide spectrum of total white and total black, there was no comparison. Plasma rocked it, and LCD simply did not. Look at the two types of screens from an angle, and the contrast was even more stark. As in, the plasma had contrast, the LCD did not. In the ensuing years, LCD improved, but it didn't improve all the way. CNET conducted a rather well-known LCD plasma bake-off the end of last year, and plasma beat LCDs in black level, contrast ratio, motion blur, and viewing angle. LCDs were far less thirsty when it came to energy production, but that was all. If you really want plasma at this point, good luck finding one. Meanwhile, the industry is working on the next thing. Some TVs with 4K LCD are starting to appear on the market. It's going to be a few years, though, before enough content is created to really take advantage of it. And that's why it's tough to know for now if 4K will bring the beauty and the warmth, figuratively, not literally, of plasma. I'm Andrew O'Day in the Market Watch Radio Newsroom.
21 minutes after the hour, this is Paula Today on Res Radio 91.3. Here's a final look at stocks. The Dow Jones is currently down 85 points at 16,901. NASDAQ down 27 at 4,391. And Standard & Poor's down about 10 points at 1,962. Job creation has been a big concern during the last couple of years of economic recovery. CareerBuilder.com's Jennifer Grass says hiring will increase in the second half of this year.
We surveyed more than 2,000 hiring managers nationwide and found that nearly half, 47%, plan to hire full-time permanent employees over the next 6 months. That's up from 44% last year. And a third, 33%, plan to hire temporary or contract workers. That's up from 31% last year. Part-time hiring is also expected to increase as well. So improvements across different categories.
So are we seeing more confidence about where things are going when it comes to these hiring managers?
Yeah, I think so. You know, this time last year, employers had anticipated a spike in temporary employment. It was about a 10 percentage point increase over 2012, while permanent employment was expected to remain flat. There was still a bit of uncertainty lingering from the recession. Employers were not rushing into a full-scale expansion of headcount in light of certain economic headwinds. The results of this year's survey are really indicative of a more confident employer population compared to 2013.
So when we look at specific industries, who is hiring?
Yeah, there's certain industries that are expected to outperform the national average for permanent hiring in the months ahead that, you know, based on our study, information technology, financial services, and hospitality top that list. They're also poised to experience the highest year-over-year gains in permanent employment. You know, information technology, that's a booming industry, a lot of companies investing in innovation that touches, you know, so many aspects of our lives. Financial services has been gaining ground. Hospitality is also seeing more growth in this stage of the recovery as people now have more expendable income. They're not necessarily cutting back on leisure activities as much. And then healthcare and manufacturing round out the top five. More people have access to health benefits today. We have an aging population requiring more care. We see more manufacturing jobs coming back to U.S. shores. So some nice move in all of these industries.
And then looking specifically at the types of jobs, the types of roles that hiring managers are looking to fill, I mean, one word really sums up a lot of this, and that's technology.
It is, you know, and we expect jobs to be added in a variety of functions, and it's going to heavily favor job seekers with expertise in technology, financial operations, communications, and other specialized fields. When we asked employers, you know, what are some of the hot areas that they're going to be hiring for in the back half of the year, you know, they pointed to jobs tied to social media, mobile technology, cloud technology, wellness, content strategy for the web, managing and interpreting big data. That's also a hot area. Cybersecurity, financial regulation, search technology, health informatics. And what's interesting is that a good chunk of these jobs didn't exist 10 years ago.
Yeah, so definitely some new areas there. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as the size of companies themselves, small companies, big companies, who's hiring and who's looking to get bigger?
Well, I think recruitment activity is notably stronger and increasing in enterprise organizations, but small business hiring is holding steady, so that's the good news. When you look at companies with 250 or fewer employees, 35% are hiring full-time permanent employees. That's up slightly from 34% last year. The smaller shops with 50 or fewer employees, 24% are going to be hiring. That's the same as last year. So they're holding steady. When you look at larger organizations, those with more than 500 employees, 61% plan to hire. So you can see there's a considerable difference there. You know, the hiring activity among small businesses has gradually increased. We'd like to see it accelerate a little more. Most of the job creation in the U.S. happens with small businesses, so it's an important segment to watch.
Right, but I guess a lot of the small business guys, if anything, they'll be more cautious maybe than some of the big guys.
Yes, they would be for sure.
Right, right. Now, as far as areas in the country, I mean, from what I'm seeing, what you have here is that it's all pretty close as far as the four regions of the U.S.
Yeah, not a big difference among the regions. You know, all of them are hovering around 47% or 48% of employers planning to add full-time permanent staff. The South and the Northeast are expecting to see the biggest year-over-year gains, but all regions are pretty much in line.
Yeah, and then specifically if we look at the third quarter, which is what we're in right now, what kind of hiring can we expect just these next 3 months?
It's nearly a third. 31% of employers plan to hire full-time permanent staff in the third quarter. That's up slightly from last year. And so, you know, we continue to see that forward momentum. I think we're going to see that across various industries and functions. Hopefully we'll see wages follow suit as the talent pool tightens.
Career Builders' Jennifer Grass was talking with Steve Podisk, and I'm Adrian Mitchell. Thanks for listening to Money Markets and More.
Two multi-generational Pama Valley citrus-growing families have been recognized by Sherman Oaks-based Sunkist Growers for their contribution to the industry. The Correa and Leal families' stories are detailed in an article by Susan Misch in the Valley Roadrunner. You can find a link for that story on our website and in our daily e-newsletter. Valley Center's Zachary Kurtz earned Supreme Grand Champion honors for Market Beef for the second consecutive year at the recently completed San Diego County Fair. Kurtz graduated from Valley Center High last year and currently attends Palomar College. This was his fifth year entering steers at the fair. Of his two entries this year, the steer named Double D won in its class, and Zigzag took third place in its class. Double D then won the Supreme Grand Championship, competing against Grand and Reserve Champion entries from all divisions. At the fair's livestock auction on July 5th, Double D was also sold to Southern California Contracting Company of San Marcos for $7 a pound. The Palo Banda Mission Indians has a number of employment opportunities, including full-time and part-time. For a list, go to palatribe.com. Always check with the Palo Fire Department before starting any open fires. Call 760-742-1632 to get the day's CAL FIRE and APCD recommendations. Today is a permissible burn day in Palo. There is a no-burn proclamation for state responsibility areas, including land adjacent to Palo. That's in effect until further notice. Programming on Res Radio 91.3 is made possible in part by the Palo Banda Mission Indians and donations from listeners like you. Be sure to like us at facebook.com/resradio and follow us at twitter.com/@resradiofm for news updates 24 hours a day. When you're outside of the Palo area, you can hear Res Radio on iHeartRadio, the world's largest radio station streaming source, and becoming a standard source of programming on many new vehicles right alongside AM, FM, and Sirius. Free apps for all major smartphones and other streaming devices at the website iHeart.com. Just open up the app, search Res Radio, save us as a favorite, one-click listening from then on, anywhere you go. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can listen to us on our new Listen Line, thanks to Audio Now. Just dial 1-832-999-1123 from any telephone. Normal phone plan charges apply. There is no charge for the service. 832-999-1123. Palo weather, sunny with a high of 85 this afternoon. Warmer tomorrow, about 90 Sunday and Monday before dropping back to the mid-80s by Wednesday. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms Monday night and Tuesday. Overnight lows in the low 60s through Saturday, mid-60s beginning Sunday night. Here's today's Palo Community Calendar. There's a multimedia workshop for Palo Native middle and high schoolers July 7th through 11th from 10 to 3 daily at Palo Old Tribal Hall. The week's video projects will be screened Friday the 11th at 5:30 at Palo Administration Meeting Hall. Contact Monica at 760-742-1997 to sign up. There's a Fallbrook Summer Nights event Friday, July 11th with the theme Friday Night Fever, featuring disco music, dance and costume events, old cars and vendors. Website for information, fallbrookvillage.org. Conversational language classes in Patnehe are offered every other Tuesday from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Palo Admin Building Main Hall. Classes are free and open to everyone. The next class is July 15th. For information, contact the Palo Tribal Secretary's office at 760-891-3516. The annual Harold Siva Fast Pitch Softball Tournament is coming up Friday through Sunday, July 18th through 20th at Jim Banks Sports Parks. Men's and women's teams can register before July 8th. Proceeds benefit Firefighter Reserve and Youth Explorer programs. Call the Palo Fire Department at 760-994-8110 for details. The San Luis Rey Native American Flute Circle comes to San Luis Rey Bakery Sunday, July 20th, including Native arts and crafts vendors from noon to 5, the bakery at 490 North El Camino Real in Oceanside. The annual Alumni and Friends Golf Tournament benefiting Fallbrook Football Boosters is July 25th at Palo Mesa Country Club. Website, coach4.org. Fallbrook Summer Nights, Friday, July 25th from 5 to 8 at Main and Alvarado with the week's theme, Farm to Table. Website, fallbrookvillage.org. The third annual South Bayfront Powwow is Saturday and Sunday, August 2nd and 3rd from 10 to 8 at Marina View Park in Chula Vista. Website, southbayfrontpowwow.com. The 16th annual Santa Isabel Traditional Gathering is Saturday, August 2nd, beginning at noon at Santa Isabel Ball Field on Highway 79. There'll be softball games, horseshoes, peon, bird singing, arts, crafts, and food booths. For more information, call Devin at 619-920-3154. The Fallbrook High School Class of 74 is hosting a multi-year reunion from 6 to 10 p.m. Saturday, August 2nd at Valley Fort on South Mission in Fallbrook. Classes of 72 through 76 are invited. Contact Res Radio for more information. The 7th Annual Honoring Traditions Powwow is August 22nd through the 24th at the arena by Palo Rey Youth Camp off Highway 76. On the evening of the 23rd, there'll be bird singing and dancing from 6 to 8 with peon tournament at dusk. For details, call Sky at 760-891-3590 or go to the website facebook.com/palapw. Native basket weaving classes are held twice a month on Sundays at Palo Old Tribal Hall from 2 to 4 p.m. now through December. Call the Koopa Cultural Center for information at 760-891-3590. Palo Skate Park is now open to BMX riders only all day Wednesdays. That's in addition to BMX only hours from 2 until closing on Sunday afternoons. Call Bruce at Palo Fitness Center for information at 760-891-3503. Escondido's Cruise and Grand event happens every Friday night from 5 till 9, now through September, with pre-1970 cars cruising and on display on Grand Avenue between Orange and Ivy. Their website, cruisinggrand.com. Boys to Men Mentoring every Tuesday from 4 to 5 and Girls to Women Mentoring every Tuesday from 3:30 to 5:30 at Paula Learning Center. Volunteer mentors are needed. For more information, you can call Monica at Paula Learning Center, 760-742-1997. Paula Citas Youth Program offers fitness martial arts classes every Wednesday and Friday from 4 to 5:30 at the gym and science classes every Thursday from 3 to 4:30 at the Old Adobe. Call Monica at 760-742-1997 for more information. Al-Anon meetings are Tuesday evenings at 7:30 and Narcotics Anonymous meets Thursdays at 7:30 at the Paula Admin Building. Indian Health Council runs a pain management support group every Wednesday afternoon from 1:30 to 2:30 at IHC in Rincon. You can find out more at indianhealth.com or call 760-749-1410, extension 5246. Any phone number or website you miss, you can find at our website, paulatribe.com. At Paula Casino and Resort, Tuesday afternoons at Infinity, it's the 60-plus club from 11 till 3 with a live show at 1. On Tuesday, July 8th, Paperback Writer, tribute to the Beatles. Tuesday, July 15th, Gregory Wolfe, tribute to Rod Stewart. Tuesday, July 22nd, Rebecca Clark, tribute to Barbra Streisand. Every Saturday night at the Infinity Club, tribute groups with Club Infinity following until 1 a.m. Saturday, July 12th, Heartbeat City, tribute to the Cars. On the 19th, David Brighton, tribute to David Bowie. Saturday, July 26th, Help, tribute to the Beatles. Saturday, August 2nd, Zeppelin USA, tribute to Led Zeppelin. Saturday, August 9th, The Long Run, tribute to the Eagles. Friday, October 3rd, at Infinity, spiritual medium Tim Braun at 8 o'clock. At Paula Events Center, Saturday, July 12th, the Paula Majestic Vietnamese concert. Saturday, July 19th, Drew Hill, Silk, and Shy. Sunday, August 3rd, Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Rydell. Sunday, August 10th, Michael McDonald and Toto. The Paula Community Calendar can be heard three times daily at 7:25 in the morning, 12:25, and 5:25 in the afternoon. If you have any items for the calendar, email the details to 91.3 at paulatribe.com, and be sure we get that at least a week before the event.